May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Palm Sunday is a day of paradox. Webster's defines paradox as a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, and yet perhaps true. The liturgy of this day begins with all the joy of spring, even if it doesn't feel quite like spring out there today. The earth is awakening, and so does faith. We are told in Matthew that Jesus arrives humbly on the donkey's back into the city of Jerusalem. It's an image from the Old Testament prophet of how God or God's king will come victoriously into Israel to establish God's reign. And so there's that image of God on a donkey. Humble comes from the Latin word humus, of the earth. And so a paradox here is that the divine being has occupied the earthly, that Christmas incarnation of Jesus. And one must wonder, did the crowd even notice this? Do you happen to know that a donkey has a hair that forms a pattern on its back? A design of the cross is a hair stands up from the mane to the tail, and then the hair stands up between the shoulder blades. Did Jesus know this? Did it hold meaning that he comes in riding on the cross? Today, we welcome liturgically Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, just as we wish to welcome his cleansing love into our hearts in a daily kind of way. The divine being occupying the earthly, in this case, us. We recite the ancient hosannas, which mean God saves. It may be that like some hymn that we hum and insinuates itself into us when we get in the shower some morning, that its purification trickles into the beginning of our day. We re-enter hope that God comes intimately, even humbly, lovingly to each of us. As we stood shoulder to shoulder in front of the church, with all the awkwardness of childhood play about to form a parade to enter this building, we were doing what Christians have done ever since the first Palm Sunday was observed as part of Holy Week. Many scriptures make this day hold together in ways that we've heard them throughout the passing year. Two disciples we heard wanted to be great, and Jesus told them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last and the servant of all. In other words, he must be humble, like unto the earth. Elsewhere, children were about to be dismissed as unworthy of Jesus' presence. And Jesus lifts up one of them and says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Again, humility. And of course, weeks ago, we read the Beatitudes as we mark God's reign as something that embraces life's pain. Those who mourn, those who are impoverished, those who seek to be pure of heart, those who practice mercy, those who are meek or gentle, those given to make peace where there is pain. All these, he tells us, receive the rewards of heaven. The full power of God comes by tenderness, gentleness, a loving kindness. It comes humbly. Jesus has reminded us over and over again that the image of God in you and me is made visible as we yield to display God's core in feeding the poor, clothing the naked, visiting those imprisoned or sick or forgotten, as we assume a prayerful position to listen for God in our lives or to hear how it moves through another. God comes to the humble place, be it a manger, a cattle shed, or on a donkey's back, or on the dreadful cross. Do you and I want to be great? Do we have some desire to be memorable? Most of us do, I think. Then the care for the edges, the forgotten, this is where we are to seek the image of God in another and to serve it. And remember Jesus' teaching. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his or her cross and follow me. For whoever would save his or her life will lose it, and whoever loses his or her life for my sake will find it. What does it profit you if you gain the whole of the world but forfeit your soul? That place where you are to seek God's reflection back in your life. He teaches that we live deeply when we embrace a God of paradox. Even our wounds, those mishaps of our life, can become the places of our healing, our deeper understanding. Jesus Christ, Son of God's own Son, set the benchmark by coming, quote, not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In the paradox of Palm Sunday, the praises that mark Jesus' entry into the holy city of Jerusalem very swiftly fall away. Betrayal is suddenly at hand. The cost of facing down the world's cruelty comes rather sharply. We have just heard it in its fullness. Judas' kiss of betrayal, money rejected as impure, Peter's denials, the crowing, letting him know that something has gone on. Justice yields to human betrayal. Politics of expedience rule the human heart. Pilate's wife was given an insight, have nothing to do with this man, with this day, and yet he does. The crowd swayed by those in authority go from praising to crucify. A foreigner, Simon, from North Africa, is pressed into service. Greed claims Jesus' garments. Jesus mutters a psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? And which is a death cry, and would have gone on to say, why are you so far from my cry? His humanity is in desolation. And then nature responds. The earth moved. The temple curtain, which hides the holiest of holies, is ripped open and exposed. There are rumors that graves have cracked open. And here is the paradox of the cross, with all its silent brutality. There is also care. Women, long generous, watch attentively, and lamenting perhaps. Joseph offers a burial place. The body is wrapped and the grave is sealed. And then there is the pause of silence, which is the Sabbath. And there is memory. In 3 days I will rise. And so they roll the stone and they seal him in and they set a guard, as if one can ever seal God out or into some place. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, the Great Easter Vigil will ask us to touch ever more deeply all of these places. As a community of hope and kindness, of humility, we are invited to walk more deeply into this divine mystery. But that will not erase the core paradox that in Jesus the human and the divine are forever mingled, that those who follow him welcome this mingling into ourselves, knowing to will to praise Jesus is also the will to follow Jesus. The divinity and the humanity of Jesus enter death to breathe life into the world again, to cover sin, yes, but perhaps more importantly, to enliven the faith of those who follow. We gain it by pausing to lay down our own life, not in material death, but in living in hope, in compassion, generously touching others by spending our care to listen and to add to life's repair. To lose our life to his compassionate way and discover that we have received it back again. Perhaps to the world, our yielding is less than the weight of a Eucharistic wafer, which is meant to feed us on Christ's love. And yet, in the divine economy, our joint and individual efforts weigh like the lifting of the cross. So come now. Come to this altar and be fed on the cross's compassion, and then carry its gift into your day and into the holiest of weeks in the Christian year. Use your life to mend life by the Spirit and by his teaching. Amen.